First Thessalonians has been our focus now for weeks, and I think it's going to be our focus for weeks. So fitting for this book on a Wednesday night, because the Wednesday night Bible study it's personal, it's tender, it's practical, it's precious. It's a moment where God seems to do just deep work of comfort, a work of understanding. And this really and truthfully is the heart of the book of 1 Thessalonians as Paul was writing to the church that he loved dearly, the people he loved dearly. He had gone there, he had preached the gospel to them, they had gotten saved. And of course he wasn't able to stay very long because persecution came, but boy, they were in his heart. And he wanted them to know spiritual success. He did not want the enemy to get a foothold or an advantage of them. And they burned in his heart, in his mind. Matter of fact, he referenced it a couple of times, how it was a constant thought process toward them, remembering them without ceasing, their work of faith, their labor of love, and he would pray for them. And so we've been going through it, this letter, and just stopping along the way at truths. And the truths that he was communicating to them, we've just been plucking out and finding relevancy and application for us in our lives. And it's been such a delight. Chapter 3, even though it only has 13 verses in it, is so rich and so wonderful and so practical. You know that if you've been in the study, you know that as Paul is writing this chapter, he has a pastoral concern, man, for these people. He was concerned for their faith. It's mentioned many times about their faith in that chapter. He was concerned that their faith would have been shook or shaken because of the afflictions that they were going through. In his own mind, he was a little bit upset and concerned that he didn't have enough time with them. Matter of fact, when you looked at verse number 10, he wanted to get back to them so that he might perfect that which was lacking in their faith. He saw them as new believers. He left them as new believers. And he just wasn't sure that they were totally ready for all the Christian life had to bring at them, all that the devil would bring at them. Not that they were not saved, but just the maturity of their faith. What he soon found out is that when the Lord Jesus indwells you by his Holy Spirit, you're ready for anything. And as he saved them, he was working in them. And Paul was battling his absence from them, but yet God wasn't absent from them. God was in them and God was working. And he was so delighted to get the report back from Timothy in verse number 6 about how the church was doing. And we talked about all that, and he turned from more of a concern to an encouragement to them, what a blessing they were to him personally in verse number 7, and the fact how they were handling their affliction was a blessing to the Apostle Paul in his affliction, in his distress. In verse number 8, he talks about, "For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord." I mean, they were just an encouragement to the Apostle Paul. He talks about the thanks that he could render to God again for them, the joy in verse number 9 that he's enjoying them. And so he's just rejoicing in what God is doing. He ends the chapter in verses 11 to 13 with a prayer. He's moved from concern to encouragement. And it's just a prayer that rolls out of his heart, off of his lips. And I'll read it to you, verses 11 to 13. He says, "Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." And so I found as I was reading the prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Thessalonica, there's so much great, simple truth in here. So much relevancy, so much practicality for our lives. I'm just going to take my time. If I could divide the prayer up, let me show you the division. If you look at verse number 11, you see that he says, direct our way. First, Paul is praying for himself. In verse number 12, and the Lord make you. So if I would dissect the prayer, the first part of his prayer, he prays for himself. The second part of his prayer, he's praying for them. And I want to take the part tonight that he is praying for himself. And I want to take this phrase that Paul uses in verse number 11, and I want to teach it to you tonight. And I hope God will do in your heart what he's done in my heart. And Paul's prayer for himself was for God's direction. And I want you to underline that phrase, direct our way unto you. This is the text tonight. Somewhere on your prayer bulletin or in your Bible or on an offering envelope or somewhere, write down these four statements that I'm about to make concerning Paul's request for God's direction in his life. Statement number one. Really, the joy of being a Christian. Statement number one. The joy of being a Christian. Statement number two. Makes me confident in the paths of life. Statement number three, and I'll repeat them. Requires my submission and trust. Statement number four. Enables me to endure and enjoy not getting my own way. Four statements. Here they go again, a little quicker. Sorry, Brittany, a little slower. The joy of being a Christian, number one. Number two, makes me confident in the paths of life. Number three, requires my submission and my trust. And number four, it enables me to endure and enjoy not getting my own way. The joy of being a Christian. I do believe that one of the great joys of being a Christian is the tremendous privilege to come to God and to submit to God and to pray to God for direction in my life. Now, I need you to understand for just a brief moment the setting that Paul is praying this in and the peace that it brings to him. Enter into the mind of Paul, okay? In the mind of Paul, he is burdened, he is concerned, he is tore up in love over these believers, these new believers. He understands that Satan has got an advantage here in Paul's mind, where Satan has taken or removed Paul from the situation through persecution. He understands that in the separation of the Apostle Paul from them, they have been left vulnerable. Vulnerable to their own burden and vulnerable to the tempting of the enemy. He talks about this. He talked about their affliction, those things that happen without, that burden their spirit. We preached about this. He talked about how the tempter would take an advantage here. He also knows in his spirit that Satan is actively hindering, breaking up the road or putting sharp obstacles in the road to keep the Apostle Paul from getting there and getting to them. And so in essence, a lot is going on. A lot of danger is there. A lot of uncertainty is there. A lot that could build anxiety, anxiousness, ungratefulness, frustration, complaining, murmuring, bad spirit, a little bit of blame and fault toward God. All of these things could be piling in on the mind of the Apostle Paul. And what a place to go in that moment to say, okay, Lord, you work it out. You work it out, or it doesn't get worked out. Lord, you're going to direct my path. I understand. I think I understand a problem here. By the way, Paul didn't totally understand the problem because he thought those believers were getting destroyed, and actually they were being strengthened, right? Sometimes we think we understand the moment, but really we don't. By the way, God always understands the moment. So Paul thinks, and yet in his position and in his mind, his prayer is, okay, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I'm not gonna let this overburden me to the place where I blame you. I'm not gonna let this bring about such an anxiety in my mind where I just can't get any peace. These are your people. I'm your man. You know about this situation. You know that I want to get to them. You know that I need to get to them. I think I need to get to them. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to work this situation out. I'm asking you to direct my steps. Either you work it out or you don't work it out, but it's going to be your call. By the way, it's wonderful to trust the Lord like that. Wonderful. And so the apostle, as the apostle Paul is presenting this, what a joy in the Christian life to be able in moments just to say, God, this is the situation. This is what I think needs to happen. I have found that very rarely do I understand what really needs to happen. But Lord, I'm trusting you to direct my path in this situation. I'm trusting you to work this out according to your will and to your way. Let me show you some verses here. Hold your hand here. We're coming back. But go, if you would, please, to Psalm 5. Come on, Psalm 5. We're your Bible study. You are going to turn your Bible tonight to multiple places. You're even going to end up in the book of Ecclesiastes and Jeremiah. So start finding them now if you don't know where they are. Psalm 5. Some truths that come along with this. In Psalm 5, verse number 8. David is writing, and he says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way," what? Straight. You know, sometimes life is so crooked. And sometimes you analyze something and it's so complex. And sometimes you think, I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to process this thing. Lord, it seems like I got this web and it's all wound, and I've got these opportunities and they're all entangled and they're all entwined. And Lord, I don't necessarily know how I'm going to navigate my way through this. Probably the truth is you cannot navigate your way through that. It's in those moments that you say, Lord, direct my steps. For you have the ability to make my paths straight. You have the ability to guide. You have the ability to lead. What a wonderful privilege as a Christian to be able to pray and ask the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God to direct and lead in our paths, in our lives. And so the Apostle Paul is praying for himself, and he says, now I see a situation, and this is what I think about it, but Lord, you're going to have to direct my way, which means you're going to have to work this out. If you don't want to work it out, fine, you're not going to work it out. But I'm counting on you to do this. What a joy it is to cast our care upon the Lord. Second point. In doing that, When I have a continual habit of praying and asking God to direct my way, then it leads and brings about a confidence in my life. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 10 and watch what Jeremiah said about this. And you won't forget this verse. You won't forget this practice. You won't forget this truth. Jeremiah chapter 10. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 23. O Lord, I know, this is good wisdom here, that the way of man is not where, class? In himself. What's he saying? I don't know what to do. I know enough to know that I'm limited in my human reasoning. I know enough to know that the way is not totally, I don't know everything. It is not in man that walketh to direct what? His steps. So even in verse 24, he says, O Lord, correct me. So when you think about your life and you think about navigating your life, and you think about needing direction, one of the great joys as a believer is that I get to pray and I get to ask the Lord to direct my steps. In essence, as I ask the Lord to direct me, I'm yielding what I think should happen. I'm yielding to the will and in the hand of God. I'm saying in essence, God, if you want to work it out, work it out. If you don't want to work it out, don't work it out. It's up to you. I'm giving this to you because you have the ability to make my path straight. Most of us, all we got to have the ability to do is mess things up more, right? Anybody ever messed the problem up more? Raise your hand, Beverly. Okay, so and then what it does is it as I'm praying for that, it brings about a confidence in my life that I'm doing what I ought to do. Because we have this habit of second-guessing ourselves. We have this habit of trying to justify what we're doing. And every decision that you make is going to have to be defended one day. And it better be defended with something better than, well, it seemed like a good idea to me. And so one of the reasons that we need confidence in the way that we're going and that we pray in God's direct abilities is because usually we use two very insecure things to determine our way. Two things that are not trustworthy at all. They can be positive, but they can be negative. They can be spiritual, but they can be unspiritual. The first one of those is circumstances or opportunities. Well, just because you have a circumstance or an opportunity does not mean it's God's will. But it also doesn't mean it's not. You're not helping me, Pastor. Hold on. The other thing that we use is our intellect, our understanding, our feeling, our emotion. Now, the Apostle Paul, he never solely and only allowed himself to be ruled or directed by his intellect, his emotion, or his will. The Apostle Paul always trusted the Holy Spirit of God to guide him, right? So sometimes we're so insecure in the confidence of the path of life that we should choose. And then God forbid something negative happen and we look back and we say, well, that must not have been God's will. Well, just because something negative happened to you doesn't mean it wasn't what God had for you. It just means something negative happened to you. And in the process, we try to mentally find some footing. Because if it's negative or if it hurts or if it's painful or if it doesn't measure up to what we had, it's hard for me to get my footing there. And then I begin to lose confidence. And if I lose confidence of where I am, then I'm never going to really search for direction to going forward. We have usually a time where we take that back. And so if I just use circumstances alone, they're not trustworthy because they could be of the Lord, they could be of the enemy. If I just use my feeling or my mind alone, it could be of the Lord or it could be me. working that. But there is a third thing that is perfect and unmovable, and that is the Word of God, right? And so one of the reasons that I pray and I ask God to direct my way is because of Psalm 119:105, and please help me with it. Don't look at it. If you don't have it memorized, shame on you. And I love you for that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I read a beautiful illustration of this. Captain was bringing a big ship into harbor, and it was very difficult to navigate its way through the harbor. And he was one of the only captains that was able to do it. And one of the young men came up to him and said, "Captain, how do you come into this harbor with such confidence?" And he said, "You see them three lights over there?" Guy looks, "I do." He says, "I take those three lights and I navigate my way until those three lights line up behind each other. And then I know I'm on the right path." So why do you need to pray and ask God to direct your way? Because you need to take the circumstances and you need to line them up with your idea, but you better line both of those up upon the Word of God. And you use that as a direction in your life. Never make a decision solely on circumstances. They're not trustworthy. Never make a decision on based on how you feel. It's not trustworthy. But the Word of God is trustworthy. So Paul's saying, I'm asking you, God, to direct my way. What a wonderful way as a believer to live. What a peaceful way. What an enjoyable thing to be able to put that out for God and know that he will do that. But it also brings a confidence in my life. Now the third thing that it said was, or that I brought to you, was this requires my submission and it requires my trust. And so you know the verse, but let's do a little walk. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and it backs this up. It requires my submission, requires my trust. We're headed to the book of Ecclesiastes after that. So if you want to find the very next book after Proverbs, we'll hit Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and verse number 6. Even if you know it, let's let your eyes fall on it. Solomon writing here says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what, class? Direct thy path." So as I pray for God to direct my path and direct my life, and I pray for God's direction in my life, it's going to demand a submission away from a submission to God with all of my heart and not a leaning or a trust on my own understanding, how I view something, what I see, how I interpret it, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. How do I acknowledge him so that he will direct my path? You pray. Now, the evidence that I don't trust him or that I think that I understand is I don't pray. I want to say this. The believer ought to pray about everything and every decision in their life outside of what is definitely written in the Word of God. Of course, those things you just submit to. But sometimes we just think we know who to marry. That's so true, right? But we need to pray. Sometimes we just think we know what job to take. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make more money. I get a promotion. It's not rocket science. Well, it better be what God wants. You'd be shocked how many decisions we make, really and truthfully, without. Well, I take the big decisions to God. Yeah, right. I got news for you. All the decisions are big and important. And so there's got to be, if I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask God to direct my way and my path, then it demands submission. It demands trust. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Look at this verse. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge or sharpen the edge, verse 10, then must he put to, say it. Oh, God, this is a great verse. Go back. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. What's the next word? But means a contrast. But wisdom is profitable to do what? Boy, isn't that our life? Oh, man, I just got to work harder. Man, this thing ain't working out. I just got to swing that thing harder. I just gotta put more effort. I just gotta be smarter. I just gotta do these kind of things. I just gotta work and bring about more strength. In reality, I need to move away from my own understanding, and I need to move away from my own ability. And I really and truthfully need to seek God for wisdom. And I really and truthfully need to seek God to pray and ask God to direct me, because maybe God doesn't want me to do what I'm doing. Or maybe he does. I promise you this, whatever it is, he doesn't want you to do it in your own strength. Number four, it enables me with an ability to endure and enjoy not getting my own way. Now, there's all kinds of verses here I can give you. Go, if you would, please, to Psalm 106. Come here. I'll give you four or five to write down. Psalm 106, and come if you would please to verse number 15. This will help me make my point so I can hurry to a close. Speaking of how God worked in the nation of Israel, verse 15. And he gave them their, what class? Requests. But he sent what? Leanness into their soul. Come to Psalm 119, please. The psalmist wrote, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Come, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 31. I'm going somewhere. Proverbs 1. Verse 31. It's Bible study. If you look at verse number 29, it says, "For they that hated knowledge and not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof." Now watch this. "Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their," what? "Own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearketh unto me shall dwell," how? "Safely." Paul, in his prayer at the end of that chapter, prayed for himself. In the middle of all of what was going on there, basically what he says is, "Okay, Lord, you work this out or you don't work it out. You direct me to their paths or you don't direct me into my paths. But my prayer is that you would lead and guide." Now, what does that do? That stripped from him all of the anxiety, all the care. It stripped from him his own plan, his own understanding, his own assessment of what he thought needed to happen. And basically he says, I just submit this to you, and I want you to direct my life accordingly. It's a tremendous joy for a Christian to live like that. It's a tremendous privilege that we have to go to God and say, okay, God, you got to direct me through this. You're the only one that can make my way straight. You're the one that makes my path straight. If I'm going to try to navigate this myself, I'm going to mess it up. It will bring a confidence in your life as you look back and you say, listen, I prayed, I asked the Lord, I lined up those circumstances, I lined up my thoughts, and I lined them up on the Word of God. I had that lamp that was a light unto my feet, and I don't understand why God's not got it rough right now. I don't understand why it's hurting right now. I don't understand why it's not working out the way I thought it was going to work out, but here's what I know. I am going as God leads me. And by the way, if you've been in that position where the things have been negative, but you know that God has been leading you, you understand the comfort and the joy and the hope and the endurance of that. The folks that lack that confidence lose their mind in the middle of all these things, and then the worst thing you can do is try to do your own way. His way is perfect. And so Paul said, upon that, the proverb said, so if I'm going to pray and ask God to direct my step, it's going to demand a submission and it's going to demand a trust away from my intellect and my own understanding, and a trust with all of my heart, which is evidence of that. And then it enables me to endure not getting my own way. It enables me to endure that when things go south or when they're not perfect, okay, Lord, I don't understand. If I could just be personal with you, maybe you've had this experience. I find myself telling the Lord, I don't understand often. Is there anybody else out there that does that? If so, say amen. I don't understand, God. Why would you do that? Why would you let that? How am I here? Why is this way? But following that is, okay, I understand, but I'm going to trust you to direct my paths. Paul made this a part of his prayer. So I'm leaving you with this thought. Do you pray and do you ask God and give God out of a surrender the ability for him to direct your paths? Or do you just do what the circumstances say or what you think? It's a joy as a believer to let him direct our paths. By the way, he'll never steer you wrong. Amen? All right, let's pray.